And hello, good people of the internet. It is I, Tommy Kelly, and this is Adventures in Woo Woo. And in this episode, I want to talk a bit about the idea that we are nothing more than a collection of other people's ideas. So a while back, I did a whole podcast about this kind of idea before, and that'll be in the show description down below if you want to have a listen to that. And I mentioned it a bit on the December vlog as well, but I want to go into this idea a bit more. It's something that has come out of the whole therapy thing I'm doing, and I don't think it's directly related in the sense of that it's not part of the type of therapy I'm doing, but it's just, it has led me to this kind of, in a sense, conclusion maybe, or just current thinking. And it came from the fact that I started noticing that an awful lot of what I do is kind of a loop or a recording or like a rehearsed kind of response to the world, rather than a kind of authentic, off-the-cuff, genuine, I suppose, response to situations or things. And it's like this constant loop of different conversations and different things, different memories, different interactions, fantasies, all of these things constantly on the loop. And kind of thinking around that thought, and I had one night where I just couldn't sleep at all, and so all of these just things arrived in my brain at once. And it was kind of like that it's more like the whole entire thing is you're acting, that I'm acting this part. And you can find yourself sometimes, well, if you're like me, you may, within, say, an argument, and you kind of go, I'm not even angry about this. Why am I arguing? Why am I so annoyed? Why is my, in a sense, body reacting in this kind of way? There's just kind of small voice in the back of your mind that's kind of witnessing the whole thing on, this is ridiculous, you don't feel this. And you can do that in other things, it's not just in anger. I found myself doing it in times when I go, oh, this should be really, you know, lovely, or this should be really sweet, or I should be feeling happy, and realizing that I'm acting happy, or I'm acting, I don't know, whatever the emotion is. Now, it's harder to capture that when you're possessed by the emotion, so you're really angry, whatever. That kind of voice has less kind of scope to be heard. So this kind of whole thing of going, well, what if the whole thing is an acting type thing? And I've had situations where I'm definitely going through the motions of things, and, you know, saying my lines, I know what the answer is, you know, talking to the same people about the same things as if it's, you know, done by rote, or if it's like, this is the game, you know, and the whole thing kind of felt like this is a game. This whole thing feels like a game. And I have this idea that the whole of existence, in a sense, is a bit like a puzzle that you have to solve, particularly your life, that you have to, you know, you have to work out this bit, what that means, and that kind of switches the puzzle piece a wee bit so that a new bit opens up. And then when you solve that, it, you know, the next bit opens up. But I see kind of all interaction as a kind of a puzzle and a game. It's as if to uncover the real behind it all, the kind of reality behind the appearance of everything. You know, as if to, it's that the game is, in a sense, to try and discover who, you know, the man behind the curtain is. I'm just going to move slightly because my hand's getting sore there. And then I just, that whole thought that I had in that the podcast I was talking about earlier kind of came back about that. My personality, even like, so my interaction, my day-to-day interaction, I can kind of see that it's an acting, it's a fabrication, it's someone saying lines, it's playing a part. And then I got the thing I said about the thing I talked about in another podcast, is that even my personality and my interests and my view of the world and my opinions, I can nearly in all cases point to where they come from. Some of them are consciously, I've picked up, some unconsciously, like say things from family or friends growing up, that, you know, you have opinions or you have personality traits that you've just collected from other people, kind of unconsciously, that you suddenly, you know, someone will go, oh, you sound just like your dad when you said that, or, you know, that reminds me of this thing, or you'll find yourself saying something and you go, oh, that's my friend used to say that. But I really started looking into that, And I noticed there wasn't any part of me that I couldn't relate or view the origin of being from someone else or somewhere else. That there was no intrinsic originality to me or no self, no I behind it all. Whereas there was an awareness, say, but there was no kind of person who had their own personality or ideas or original thought in many ways. That's kind of an interesting kind of thing to realize. And it's a thing that's in Buddhism, not all Buddhism, and people get very kind of angry and uptight about Buddhism, and like there's like real Buddhist nerd things, and you know, like I understand all that. I can, you know, being an occultist, I understand the nerd aspect of it all. But I just, why I'm saying that is because I'm not speaking for all Buddhists, and I definitely don't have any authority to speak with Buddhism in any kind of thing other than I've read a few books, I've listened to a few podcasts. But it's this whole idea that behind your thinking, behind your consciousness, there's no actual self. There's nothing there. Now, some people say it's the void. Some people say it's an illusion of self. People like Daniel Dennett and that kind of ilk would say that consciousness is just an epiphenomena of the brain, which means it's kind of like a byproduct, a thing that happens due to the functioning of the brain and is not real. Like, I mean, it's real because we can experience, but it's not actual. It's like a falsehood. And there's kind of a very similar type of thought in Buddhism, where they would see thinking and consciousness as just another sense. In the same way, you don't think you're what you hear. You don't think you're what you taste. You don't think you are what you see. You don't think what you are what you feel. You also aren't what you think. You aren't what you imagine yourself to be. That it's just, the thinking is just another sense. It's just another way of interacting with whatever this is we're interacting with. I remember when I was a teenager that there was a kind of a sense in me that I wasn't right, or that I wasn't getting what I wanted, or that people weren't responding in the way I wanted to me. So I kind of got, I suppose, in a way, looking at it now, felt that I had a, that I suppose that whole thing, if you don't think you're good enough or there's a flaw to you, and I've deeper kind of things about that that I'll not bore you with right now. But what I did, my kind of way to engage with that was to deliberately take on personality traits from other people, mostly kind of famous people that I admired or I thought were cool or had some sort of attribute that I felt other people would admire, and that if I had that, then I would have the same, get the same kind of accolades and rewards that they get. It's very like, I suppose, NLP modeling or, you know, chaos magic invoking, only using, you know, pop culture kind of references and stuff like that. But I definitely did take on personality traits, not in doing impressions. It's not quite that, although it's, you know, you're in similar ground. It's not that, like, say, Eddie Izzard would have been a huge influence in me. And it wasn't that I went around trying to be Eddie Izzard, or I wouldn't go around, you know, repeating his or hers, depending on the day, you know, comedy stand-up routines or anything like that. But it was a kind of an approach. I took his kind of style of sense of humor and took it on as my own, and kind of used that. And I found that I did that with other people that I was around, that I would take on their other on their traits as well. But that seemed to be more a bit less conscious, although sometimes consciously. But there was other people too. Like, there's definitely, like, when I was wanted to be a rock star, I was like, I wanted to be Dave Navarro. Not that I wanted to be Dave Navarro, but I wanted to be, I suppose, a similar kind of how I felt he was cool. I wanted to be cool in that way. Dave Navarro has become, I suppose, less cool and more mainstream, or maybe no one knows him anymore. It's hard to know. In my early teens, Jane's Addiction were the height of cool. So, so those things are just two examples that of deliberately taking on kind of personalized. Now, again, wasn't doing an impression of Dave Navarro, although, you know, I did try to have my hair like him. I did kind of do a kind of somewhat impression of him in my guitar style and even my stance and my stage presence and stuff like that. But there was other influences too and all that. But it's just, it's a good example to kind of see of something that I did that at a definite kind of point. And then when I got to kind of know his personality and stuff as it went on, because, you know, you did, back in the day, you didn't know much about people who were in bands. You just had the album cover, that was it. There was no internet, no YouTube, none of these things. And then I kind of took on bits of his personality too, because again, it was part of that kind of coolness type thing.
So just a quick interjection here. I just wanted to point out that it wasn't just famous people, if that's kind of what I'm implying. There was a deliberate kind of effort on my part, particularly when I was in a teenage, to me, even late 20s, where I would come across, I suppose, the person who I felt was the most admired, possibly, or the centre of attention in a particular social group, who had the most power as a personality, or whatever that kind of NLP kind of thing is. And I would very much kind of latch on to them and kind of try to emulate them in many ways. And that was probably a bit more kind of impressionistic than it was with, say, some of the earlier things, the more famous people. That was kind of trying to very much steal a part of their personality or part of their kind of, in a way, social standing as well. It's odd looking back on it. I did it four or five times with different people, all male, and maybe, possibly significantly. And in a way, I suppose it was kind of a mentorship thing going on there as well. They were older than me. There was a learning experience. There was more to the relationship than just me trying to grapple on to the social standing they had. It was genuine friendships and a lot of kind of reciprocal things going on. So it wasn't just that, but there was definitely a concerted effort on my behalf to steal the part of their personality, or to absorb parts of their personality, or emulate parts of their personality, due to me thinking that they were getting, because of this part of their personality, were getting a better social standing or better love, I suppose, from people, or admiration, or whatever the exact word, or whatever it was that I was looking for. Anyway, just wanted to say it wasn't just Dave Navarro and Eddie Izzard and any other famous people. It was real people too.
And then there's other stuff, obviously, that I noticed that I'll say things now that my dad would have said, or said it in a way that my dad would have said it, or different people, or my mom, or, you know, friends growing up and stuff like that. And even down to art and comics and all that, I got from my cousin, who was big into, or still is big into, art and comics and stuff like that. So that's like, but it's more than an influence. It was me trying to get, in a sense, what he had. And what it comes down to ultimately, without kind of faffing about too much, is this idea of that what I feel like I'm doing now is that I'm doing an impression of a human being, rather than being kind of a genuine, authentic human being having their own reactions and old thing. And I don't know how normal that is, in a sense. I don't know if that's just what everyone's doing, or is it just something I've done to kind of cope, or to make sense of, you know, going out into the world. I assume it's not that unique, that it has to be something that is a mechanism that people use or employ. But it's kind of hard then when you're looking back and you're looking in yourself and all that, and you see nothing there that's unique to you. And I know you'll say, well, there's a spin on it, and, you know, you have your own kind of unique thing. But do you really? Like, if you stick all of these ingredients into a pot, and I've done them, I went through a whole list and a different kind of my attributes, my different things, whatever, and I know where they all come from. I know where they all are. And as I say, most of them, and surprisingly, are deliberate, and only very few aren't. Or kind of subconsciously or unconscious. But putting all those ingredients in a pot is me. And it's kind of making me question a lot of things. Am I actually happy about the things I think I'm happy about? Or is that just that I'm the person who I stole that idea from would be happy with those things? Am I actually sad about all the things I'm sad about, or depressed, or anxious, or all that? Or is that just because that I, you know, I'm playing the part of someone that I think I should? You know, like, growing up a Catholic, you were told that you have to, like, kind of, this place is for suffering. You have to suffer, and it's better to suffer. It makes you a better person. God will love you more if you suffer. And God forbid that you're happy, or, you know, feel good about yourself, because that's a sin, and God will punish you and look down upon it, and you're a terrible person, and all of these type of things. And that's all in there, in me. Now, like, that's the truth I have brought to the world since then, in it. And it's like, that's the lens through which I see things. And, you know, it's what things my parents told me as growing up, and all of these kind of ideas and stuff. And I can't find ones of my own. I can have kind of a kind of, I know things I'm into and I'm not, but are they mine? Is that, it's like, am I into certain things because in an amalgamation of all the people I've taken on, all different traits and attributes of other people, that leads to that thing? Like, is it something I'm actually into? It's getting a bit, I suppose, hard to explain, or maybe I'm explaining, but it's not a well thought out concept as yet. But it's interesting to realize that in many ways, Tommy Kelly doesn't exist as a person. Although you can point at him, you can look at him on YouTube, you can listen to his podcasts, he's plenty of things he can tell you about, and he has opinions. But where are they coming from? What are they based on? What is the basis of all these things?
And the second interjection, just because an idea came to me, not that it came to me, I just remembered when I was driving home from the castle that I just wanted to say it towards the end as well, that if it is a case that it's just that my personality or my being is just a collection of other people, then in a sense, it should be easy to take the bits I don't like and then slot in a new piece. And that'd be a very kind of chaos magic, you know, paradigm shifting or whatever it is kind of idea. And I understand that, and I think there's great utility in that, and there is usefulness in it, and it is something I will look into. However, my concern with it is that you're going from one lie to another lie. And I think there's an opportunity here, while I'm in the kind of midst of all this, whatever that word is, that I can kind of uncover a greater kind of truth, rather than just, I suppose, plastering over a problem with, you know, a new piece of plaster, or whatever it is that expression. My brain's not working. But what I mean is that while I definitely could probably get rid of some of these kind of falsehoods that I have towards the world and kind of these false ideas and all of that, and replace them with something better using the same kind of system of stolen personality traits or whatever, but I think I have an opportunity here to uncover a greater truth about myself, or a kind of a greater, I don't know, possibly truth about the world, maybe, I don't know, it depends. But certainly, at the end of it, if you have to have a personality, I think you're better off having personality traits that are more conducive to happiness and satisfaction than maybe despair, sadness, and darkness. So anyway, back to Castle Tommy.
So as usual, good people of the internet, I'm going to leave you none the wiser, because I'm none the wiser about it. But I'm just kind of interested in getting your thoughts around this idea of, is it possible to be anything more than a collection of other people's ideas? Is that just all we are? And the kind of implication is that, of course, that the people who you got the ideas from somewhere else. Like, say you have a family trait or whatever that you got from your uncle, who got it from his grandfather, and this kind of type of thing, you know, jealousy or something like that, whatever it is. Or, a work ethic or something like that, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be always negative. But there kind of then has to be an idea that there's a prime idea person. Someone had to have the idea originally, if it's just transmitted through different people. And is that where the archetypes come in? Are they the original idea that then from then we have just stolen everything from? I don't know. It's an interesting one, and it's obviously something that, as I said, I've thought about before, because I did a podcast on it before, on this whole idea. And these things seem to come in waves. It seems to arrive, and then you have to kind of deal with it for a while, and then it kind of gently goes away again, and then comes back, as if you have to get a certain amount of knowledge from it, and then you have to go out into the world and integrate it, and then it comes back. Or perhaps the idea comes, or this kind of whatever it is, insight comes, and I don't get it, and I don't understand it, and it goes away, and because we come back to it when you've worked things out, when you're a bit more knowledgeable about things. So that's it. That's where I'm at. I don't exist as a person. I'm not real. I'm nothing more than a collection of other people's ideas, some of which I've stolen consciously, some of which I've stolen unconsciously. But nonetheless, that seems to be right now the sum total of who I am as a person. Where that thought goes, I will find out. So, good people of the internet, until next time, be well.